One of the difficulties with the lectionary is it always sort of starts somewhere in the middle, and we have to wonder what's going on. So I'm going to begin with where it started for this particular time that Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a leader of the Jews, in the dark, in the night, comes to find Jesus to ask him questions about how he can enter the kingdom. And Jesus talks to him about being born again, and Nicodemus is getting more and more confused. And then Jesus speaks to him about this time that Nicodemus would understand when he says, "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness," Nicodemus, a Pharisee, would know the context. We might not, so I'm going to share it. It was that time when the Hebrews were leaving Egypt. So they'd crossed the great river. They were now in that desert time. And they were getting manna. They were getting manna, but, you know, it wasn't a land flowing with milk and honey. It was a desert. Water was scarce. Food was scarce. God had to provide the quail and the manna. And they began to grumble and complain. Can you imagine that? They began to grumble and complain. They grumbled and complained because they were tired of that manna. They were just sick and tired of eating the same bread every day. And God heard their complaints. And God got a little bit angry with their complaints. So he sent serpents. He sent serpents amongst them who were poisonous and began to kill the people. So you can imagine what happened next. You know, the cut scene is they were running to Moses at this point and said, "Help us, save us, save us, sir." And they said, you know, they were really excited. They wanted to be saved. They didn't want to die by serpents. So Moses speaks to God and says, "God, how can we help these people? They've come back to us because they fear their mortal death." And God said, "Make a serpent, put it on a pole, and lift it up. And anyone who looks up and sees the serpent who's been bitten will live." And so Moses does that, and the people live and come back to God. With that image in our minds, hear again these words. "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." So when we think about Jesus being lifted up, we might be thinking about high and holy Jesus, Lord of all. But there's another lifting up. There's another lifting up that Jesus had to do. It was Jesus being lifted up on the cross. So again, we have death and life. Christ had to die so that we could have life and have it eternally. Which is where the next verse comes into the play. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son to death, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." But this isn't just I believe in my head. I believe. I've read the scriptures. I know the story. God, Jesus, I believe that you died and rose again. Something else is going on. And that's why we have some additional verses in today's reading. "Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." So through his death on the cross, the world might be saved. But upon his resurrection, Christ was no longer in the world, other than through those who believe and follow. So then we hear, "And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and the people love darkness rather than the light." So stop for a moment and think about this. The people of Israel, the Hebrews, were being saved from slavery, and the promise of a new land and the promise to be God's people. And still they grumbled and complained in the wilderness. They still sought the darkness rather than trusted the light. Though they believed in God, they could say that with their lips. They believed in God. They believed in Moses. They still wanted the things of the world, the things of darkness, to bring them comfort. Are we that much different? Nicodemus didn't come in the light of the day to ask these questions to Jesus, did he? He came in the dark. He came where no one might see that he was questioning the world because of this man called Jesus and what he might be saying and being and doing. Darkness is a really great place to hide. Ask any child who plays sardines in this church. Darkness is a really great place to hide. We can hide even our desires not to be totally followers of Jesus Christ in the darkness, because no one can see what we're doing. But the light, which is Christ, is the light which we accept in our baptismal vows. When we say yes to God, we say yes to the light. We say yes to that little light of mine that is growing and glowing and shining bright into the darkness. Can you remember when it shined into your darkness? Can you remember when God, through Jesus Christ, said to you, "You are my beloved child. With you I am well pleased. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Rest for your soul. Rest for your life. All that I am, I give to you." Can you remember that moment? But then that moment passes, doesn't it? And we begin to get busy in our lives. And suddenly the things of the world become much more attractive than the light of Christ in our hearts. This passage this morning is about the transformation of the world. It isn't about our particular relationship with God that we've got it made. Hey, God, I'm yours, and we don't care about the rest of the world. Because 17 comes next, that the world might be saved. That the world might be saved through those of us who are followers and belief. This belief is about living our lives in the light of Christ. So I ask you this morning, as you think about your Lenten disciplines, which are the ones that help us get closer to God and Christ, I want to ask you this morning, did you pick a Lenten discipline that was sacrificial, or did you pick one you could easily accomplish? Was there a real sacrifice in what you chose to give up for 40 days? Or was there a, hey, I've given up chocolate before, I can do it again? So that the discipline didn't teach you anything about Christ's sacrifice. The discipline didn't teach you anything about the things that you are so attached to that maybe they replace God. Do we choose the easy way, the way of the world, the way of darkness, rather than the hard way of being a follower of Jesus Christ? The darkness is way too tempting to hide in. Have you ever taken pictures and you get so exposed you don't want anyone to see you? It's like, can we tear that negative up? Not that many people have negatives anymore, but can we destroy the data file that is that picture, because I am way too exposed? The light does that. The light of Christ is one that exposes all of those dark places in our hearts and in our lives, those places that need to be eradicated, that need to be burned out through the fire of the Holy Spirit. That's what light does. Lenten practices are to allow God to aim God's light upon our places that need that refining fire of the Holy Spirit, so that we can be better light shining into the community, so that God can focus us. We become God's laser beam of light focused in on whatever mission God has for us, so that God's world can be transformed. Just a little while ago, we honored a great man of the faith, Billy Graham. And in the midst of early worship this morning, someone was talking to me about one of the specials that they had about Billy Graham's life, and how between the years of 44 and 49, that he had logged in a million miles or something, some number of miles. Think about it, 1944 to 1949, he traveled all over the world, millions of miles, to proclaim the message of salvation. That was not a time when we had jumbo jets and massive, quick transportation. That was long, arduous travel, because this man had a mission. This man wanted to evangelize the world. We're not Billy Grahams. I know that. I'm not a Billy Graham. But we are children of God. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. We are called to do what is true so that others can come to the light. We are called to live a life that signifies the light of Christ. We are called to look into our own lives and examine where the darkness is still dwelling so that God's light can shine on it and God can refine us to be better disciples so that the world can know that it's love that transforms the world. One last final thought. You all know I'm a superhero woman. I love my superheroes. Well, I finally got to see Black Panther, and I was not disappointed, because once again, the message was, love transforms the world. And we got it straight from God's mouth. Let's be God's light. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.